Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 6:30 tonight. And at 6:30 tonight, we'll throw it to our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss will be the host. Be Saints head coach Dennis Allen. His guest tonight will be Saints wide receiver coach Keith Williams. And then right after that, Monday Night Football right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. It'll be the Detroit Lions playing the Seattle Seahawks on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Seen him for many years covering the NFL, NFL Network, and author now of the book, The Why Is Everything, Mike Silver. Mike, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. How's it going?
Doing great. Mike, kind of tell us a little bit about the book before we get into the NFL a little bit. This is about the young coaches that now, the influence now. And for so many years, we saw the Parcells tree, the Bill Walsh tree.
Shanahan.
And now, all of a sudden, there's a new branch to the tree.
Yeah, and it kind of started with the Walsh tree when Mike Shanahan went over to become the 49er offensive coordinator in the early 90s, branched out with outside zone, and now you have Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Mike McDaniel, Matt LaFleur, Raheem Morris, all head coaches, and a bunch of other offshoots, including you're seeing in New Orleans, young Mr. Kubiak trying to become the next guy. But yeah, they've kind of revolutionized football in that, and Bobby knows this. He was a quarterback, so he may have been an exception, but not a lot of coaches loved it when players asked why back in the day. They basically said, because I said so, it just works. Just do it the way we drew it up. And this new generation wants to have a purpose for everything and even wants the players to know what's going on.
You know what's crazy? All the coaches I've had, and you know, Coach Mara was so stern, the Marine that he was. But you know who was the most knowledgeable coach that I've ever had? And to me, he was too nice. And I think the college kids would respect him. And when he was at Hawaii and SMU, is June Jones.
Yeah.
And I look at, you know, the run and shoot. I'm telling you, with Warren Moon, June Jones, like the back shoulder throw and all that. I'm telling you, June Jones invented that. People think, I always see this back shoulder throw. I'm telling you, I've watched tape. We talk about like early 80s and stuff, going way back,
because
they overplay in the fade and to direct throw a back shoulder. And the one thing I could say as far as spinning a football, I don't think Warren Moon ever threw a duck in his life.
Man, he could throw a pretty football.
Right? And,
God.
And, you know, everybody remembers the famous clip of Jeff George yelling at June Jones because June Jones had pulled him out of a game. And, you know, listen, I want my quarterback bad if I pull him out of a game. But, yeah, I agree with you. I thought June did some really cool things, obviously went to Hawaii and lit it up, you know, and had a great run there. But that's interesting. I did not know that about the back shoulder throw. That's really cool.
Mike, yeah, and the other thing, yeah, too, is, Bob, tell them a story about how you changed June's thought process on the running the ball with a running back the shotgun.
Yeah, with the run and shoot. I'm like June. I said, we're running the run and shoot, you know, going way back with Neil Lomax and Portland State and Miles Davis and going all that. I said, okay, well, they know we're going to probably 80% of it, we're passing and we're not running. So the NFL pass rushes are too good because it was a half roll with the run and shoot. And the defensive ends are upfield said, why don't we just get in the shotgun instead of being on the center? You know, Jim Kelly was outstanding with the Houston Gamblers and the USFL doing that three-step roll. So I said, June, why don't we just get in the shotgun and run the same plays? Because they know we're going to pass anyway. And so I took that approach, and you know what I love more than anything? Cameron Hayward's dad, Arnhead, Craig Hayward, was the running back. It was like having a guard back there. And there ain't no defensive ends coming up hard because he would knock a snot bubble and knock him out. So I was like, I was part of that. The run and shoot and a lot of the route concepts, you still see him today. But I said, well, they know we pass him. Why not just be in the shotgun from the get-go? This is all early 90s stuff.
Yeah, that's a great call. And, Ironhead, they didn't call him Ironhead for nothing, man. He would lower that. He would lower those shoulders, and even edge rushers were not happy to see that guy.
Today, Mike, certainly now with the three wide receivers and now the tight end, which used to be a blocker, now he's a fourth receiver in most cases, is an oversized receiver playing tight end. But that, you know, we getting to see more and more as the linebackers become smaller, the offense is trying to adapt by running the football. Because now you've replaced a bigger guy at linebacker with a smaller guy, and you try to run the football, and that's the next concept. So they went to this heavy pass, and then now you see a little bit of an adjustment from all of them. If it's Kubiak, if it's Shanahan, McVay, of running the football, because of the matchups that they have on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, and certainly one advantage that Kyle Shanahan has used is the players who can morph into, you know, multi-position threats. So Christian McCaffrey, as great as he is for any other coach, might be even more dangerous for Shanahan because he can line him up as a running back, motion him, now he's a receiver, whole formation change. Debo Samuel, you go the other way around, he can line up as a running back all of a sudden and actually be a ball carrier. Kyle Juszczyk, their fullback, can be a tight end. He can be an H-back. He can be a fullback. He can even split wide kind of in the slot. So, you know, that certainly plays into it too. But I would say one distinguishing characteristic about this group is that they don't stay static. So you look at Mike McDaniel, who he was Kyle Shanahan's run game guru, really, at every stop from Houston to Washington in the early 2010s to Cleveland to Atlanta and then at San Francisco. He goes and gets a head coaching job in Miami, sees what Tua's skill set is, already has Jalen Waddle, and says, go get me Tyreek Hill. We're going to throw it, and we're going to throw deep, and we're going to get faster. So, you know, I like the fact that even though he made his bones as a run game guy, he recognized that in that particular situation, going deep would put him a step ahead.
Now, when you look at what has occurred now, I guess it's, I don't know, it's not a big enough sample size. It's really kick off the season when you look at four games. There's no one that, I guess if you're a diehard Vikings fan, there's no one to say, oh, we're going to be 4-0. I mean, is that the surprise of the league? I know the NFC for sure, but is that the surprise of the league, the Vikings with Sam Darnold being 4-0?
Yeah, and that's another guy from this group, by the way, Kevin O'Connell, who was Sean McVay's offensive coordinator in L.A., but doing an incredible job. I think the other surprise plays tonight, and that's the Seahawks. I mean, we'll see how it goes tonight against the Dolphins, but if they end up being 4-0, you know, we've seen the 49ers struggle, blow a game against the Rams, lost to the Vikings and Sam Darnold in Minneapolis the week before that. Seahawks have a chance to stay two games up in that division early with a new coach and Mike McDonald and Geno Smith as the guy. So, but I agree with you about Minnesota. That's, you know, we all kind of looked at that and said, okay, well, they drafted a kid. He's out for the year. They got Sam Darnold as a stopgap. Still got Justin Jefferson, but are they going to really be one of those better teams? And right now they look like it.
Well, what more can you say? We love it in this part of the country. Jane Daniels, the LSU Fighting Tiger, Heisman winner. And
we've seen that before.
But you might talk about accuracy. I know you'd be almost surprised if the ball hits the ground. I mean, I don't care if you're a veteran, rookie, whatever. Who's hotter than right now than Jane Daniels? And I think it's good for the NFL. I might be old school with this with the Redskins. But I think it's good that Washington, D.C. is relevant. The Washington Commanders, I think that's good for the NFL, that if they are relevant, very similar, you know, in the Giants and Dallas and all that. But Jane Daniels, I mean, he's too cool for school. Talk about poise. I mean, he's no damn rookie to me.
Yeah, I know. Well, God, that Monday night game, he looked so great. And then that pass where he's getting clocked and he puts a perfect touch on that pass in the end zone to win the game. I mean, that was just it's incredible. But, yeah, you know, it's nice for the people, the great fan base there, because they had a terrible owner in Dan Snyder who created dysfunction. And there's a lot of that in this book because, you know, this whole staff was together under Mike Shanahan in the early 2010s, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Raheem Morris, Mike McDaniel, Matt LaFleur, and some others, including Bobby Slowick, who's done such a good job as the Texans' offensive coordinator with C.J. Stroud. But, you know, here they were with this star-studded staff, but, you know, a lot of dysfunction. But RG3 came in 2012, similar deal, kind of took the league by storm in that case, and we get into it in the book. They took their whole Shanahan outside zone offense and transported it to the pistol, kind of like a, you know, Bobby Hebert style with a run and shoot, but also running the ball out of that. And they, you know, the league didn't really have an answer in that 2012 season. And we saw RG3, you know, beat out Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson for rookie of the year. Then the dysfunction overtook them and they all got fired and had to move elsewhere to make their name.
Mike, what you've seen so far with the Saints and, you know, the kind of connection with Derek Carr here, they got a back that's terrific runner, outstanding receiver coming out of the backfield with Alvin Kamara, the two-speed guys with Olave and Rashid Shaheed. Now, you'd love to have a tight end that can get over the middle and make plays for you. But your thoughts early on about the Saints' offensive play?
Well, those first two games were amazing, right? They were going after it. It's funny, you know, I saw Derek Carr a couple times over the offseason, or once over the offseason and then once during the preseason. And, you know, the first thing he said was, man, we won 9 games last year and we weren't even close to being as good as we should be. So he thought that was a really good sign. Like, I think we're going to be a lot better. Like, we were a mess kind of last year and still managed to win 9. And, you know, you definitely saw that with the Kubiak touches. And, you know, Derek's won a lot of big games in this league, a lot of comebacks. You know, I think he sometimes gets a little bit of a bad rap. But, you know, he can play at a very, very high level. So I was excited by those first two games. I know that last one Sunday had to be a killer because, you know, the Saints and Falcons, you know, tend not to love each other, as you know well. And, you know, to have it come down at the end on the penalty and then the long kick, that's a tough one. But I think that's going to be life in the NFC South this year. As good as Tampa has looked a couple of times, I do think this division, those three teams are going to battle it out right down to the wire, and it's going to come down to kicks and flags and, you know, real, real close shaves.
Mike, tell everybody how they can get the Why Is Everything. Not everybody orders stuff on Amazon, but I know you can go to your local bookstore also and get it. And it's a great read about the young generation of offensive coaches that are in the league today.
Yeah, it's it comes out tomorrow. It should be in bookstores everywhere. It's definitely on Amazon or anywhere you would pre-order books. Today, I guess, will be the last time it's technically a pre-order. But you can do it there. And then all my social media, at Mike Silver on X, at Real Mike Silver on Instagram, the links are there in all the bios. So, yeah, hopefully I think people really like it. And there's definitely some Saints stuff in there, you know, here and there for the Saints fans out there. And, man, I'm really glad I got to be on with you guys because Bobby taught me a bunch in those first couple minutes. And I'm going to
be on with him for about 10 minutes, Mike. Yeah, if you'd be on longer, you'd hear a lot of them.
It's like, okay, ask the question. Don't make a statement, but I don't know how to do that. I'm not a professional journalist. I'm like, journalist.
You know what, man? Usually when I go to New Orleans and talk to local legends, it's a haze because I'm having like a Beto Turbo Dogs or something and great food. But like, this is a rare situation where I'm talking to a New Orleans legend and I'm coming away smarter, and I'm going to remember it all. It's great.
Mike, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it.
All right, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate
it. All righty. That was Mike Silver. For many years, you watch him on the NFL Network, covering the league, and he's book coming out tomorrow, The Why Is Everything, by the new generation of young coaches now in the NFL. We'll come back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWE.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Yeah, back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Want to thank Mike Silver coming on with us. Does a great job covering the league and also got a tremendous book that's coming out tomorrow. Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. Let's go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Big John.
Okay. First of all, let me state unequivocally for the record, I hate losing to the Falcons. And all losses hurt. But it hurts even worse with the Falcons because they are the Falcons, okay? And you know, it's absolutely heartbreaking when your team scores 24 points, does not surrender an offensive touchdown, and you've lost because of two absolutely horrible turnovers in the game. But that being said, if you told me that the Saints would be without Eric McCoy and Cesar Ruiz on the line, without DeMario Davis and several others on defense, and would lose Taysom Hill after the second quarter and play the rest of the game with a banged-up Alvin Kamara and a banged-up Chris Olave, and we would be up by 1 point, with 1 minute to go in the game, I'd be looking to sell you a bridge, okay? You know, my attitude has always been for this season one of cautious pessimism. And I'm going to say what I said after the Cowboys game when everybody was riding high. There's a long way to go in the season, and there's still a long way to go in the season. And, you know, our friend Buddy would have said, let me say this about that. You asked the question earlier, do the Saints have the right quarterback? I have never wavered in my support for Derek Carr. He's the right quarterback for this team. The right head coach? The jury's still out. And the Saints are going to have to clean up those turnovers. And that's coaching, okay? More than anything else, that's coaching. And you know, they're going to have to take Rashid Shaheed aside and say, you know, get your head in the game. And they're going to have to take Paulson Adebo aside and work with him on how to close out a game because, you know, we still got four more division games to go. And, you know, I kind of agree with Hollywood. Kansas City didn't show me enough to say that we're just going to go in there, lay over, and they're going to have their way with us. We got a chance to get to 3-2 on Monday night next week. But they've got to clean up the turnovers.
Yeah, but you know what, Big John, I mean, I said this before the game, because I think it's like this. A lot of times you look at the turnover margin, can you be plus one? Now, plus two, that magnifies whether you're going to win or not, but Atlanta ended up being plus one, you know, because we were plus four coming into the game, which is third, you know, number three in the NFL, so we've actually taken away the football in the beginning of the season, and we've protected it. Like, Atlanta was minus two, which is like 24th in the league, but then they're being plus one in the game. So that fluctuates game in and game out. But, yeah, with Kansas City, no. We can beat the Chiefs. And I'll tell you, we could be winning by 10 points. How many times the Chiefs are down by 10 points and they find a way to win? So I'm telling you, even if we're ahead and we get off to a great start, how are we going to finish the game against Kansas City? But you talk about ugly wins. Who's winning uglier than the Chiefs right now at 4-0? And you know why? Because their defense, they know how to close out games. That's the difference between a world champ and a team that's trying to be relevant. They know how to close out games, and that's what Kansas City does.
Okay, look in game one. The Ravens did everything but win the game.
Yeah,
and, two errant throws in the end zone by Lamar. Then he hits the tight end, and he's got just the tip of the toe that touches the line.
The game of inches.
Okay, you go to the Cincinnati game. Joe Burrow had him. You have a defensive back. He runs, try to run through the receiver.
Like Paulson Adebo.
Yeah, and he gets a pass interference.
Yeah.
We saw against Atlanta. Atlanta had an opportunity. Now, I think they missed that call in the end zone on Pitts. Because that defender never had his head turned around. He just ran right into him.
Yeah, the Chiefs get the calls, too. That's one thing. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. But you can't leave it to that. Because it just seems like the Chiefs are going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Yesterday, Bob, I thought that would be the L for them. Man, the Chargers really played them well. And at the end, it wasn't enough.
Mike, when the Chargers are winning with 10-0, I go,
I don't know about that.
No, and then look, it was kind of like a ho-hum game. And they're dealing with injuries. And all of a sudden, look how freaky that is. Like Mahomes knocks out the
Rasheed Rice.
Yeah, a guy they're counting on.
And
blows out his knee.
He'll be out for the season. Hollywood Brown, they lost him before the season started. And then you got Isaiah Pacheco, the starting running back. He breaks his leg. And so he's out 7 to 9 weeks with the leg injury. And they're still winning.
And
Travis Kelce, you can tell, he's in the winter. Not that make plays, but he's in the winter years of his career.
As we're going to break, they're winning because of their defense.
No question.
And then, Mike, who's the new Aaron Donald? To me, Chris Jones.
Oh, Chris Jones.
If you look how dominant he is. Now, the one thing I'm most perplexed by is that how in the world you could coach the worst defense in NFL history and kick ass with the Chiefs Spags? Mike, you got to explain that to me. I don't have an answer.
I don't have a good one.
To me, because that's like basically a decade ago, a dozen years, 2013, whenever he was here.
And that was record-setting bad.
No, to me, the only thing I could say, it had to be talent. All right, the same defensive talent,
that's
right?
That's part of it.
I don't know. It's crazy. That's one thing out of all the NFL experience, all the years.
That's a weird one.
How can Spags be the worst part of NFL history, not amongst the best with the Chiefs and their defense?
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the Second Guess Show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line. We have on with us the head football coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tim Rebo. This segment is brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Health System, innovation for a healthy future. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you got your voice back, this week.
Yeah, good evening, guys. I sure did. I took a little time off this weekend. Got it back ready to go for the stretch down the road.
Health-wise, Coach, and I bring it up every week because I think it's important, especially down the stretch, and you got the Southern game, and then basically you hit after that the Southland Conference games. How are you health-wise?
You know, it was really good for us last week. We started to get some of our guys back. We had three guys that really hadn't played, three starters, all-conference players for us. Tyler Martin, Kershawn Fisher, and Jalen Spears. And it was good to get them back on the field, and you should see those guys this week.
You know, Coach Rebo, when I looked at it, you got to be ready to play week in and week out. And they were on a roll, but not so fast. A couple of teams, one within the conference, I think Lamar got humbled. And I'm trying to think who they played.
They went to Central Arkansas, Bobby.
Central Arkansas is the real
deal. Yeah.
Central Arkansas got all that Walmart money. and stuff. So, yeah.
You would figure you would know that.
Yeah. Central Arkansas put it to them. And then, Sacramento State got humbled.
Yep.
And then considering how well they played. So you got to talk about the challenges of getting your team ready week in and week out. And you're feeling good about yourself.
Actually, Lane Kiffin, what happened?
Right.
In his own backyard.
Yeah, to Kentucky. So that's a challenge. Talk to the fans about that, of getting the team focused week in and week out and to have them ready. Look, it's always what have you done for me lately. It doesn't matter. Okay, I always said this. Like Coach Morrow would say, one snap and clear. I never forget this. So if you did good, so what? You got to do good again. And if he did bad, so what? You got to forget that. You got what you're going to do the next play. So once that McClure, that's a challenge when you, from a psychological standpoint, when you're dealing with these young kids and players, and then how you can get them motivated and play consistent throughout the season.
Boy, you hit the nail on the head because it's such a week to week. You see it in the high school level, you see it at our level, and you definitely see it in the NFL. I thought it was, had a decent week to be prepared to go play Sac State. And we just couldn't get off the ground, man. We just struggled, and they took it to us. And then last week we did. Bobby, I showed them what they did. They went to Northern Arizona and really kind of laid an egg, turned the ball over for touchdowns and couldn't get it going. So you better be ready week in and week out. And it's we were ready last week. I thought we had a good week of practice this one. Hopefully we can take it into Baton Rouge against Southern and take on a good Jaguar football team next week.
Coach, with Jalen Spears out, you got to play some young guys that would have never got those touches if Spears is in the lineup with him and Colin Guggenheim. Your thoughts on the progression of your young backs that you were able to play because Jalen had went down, I think, in the second quarter against Louisiana Tech?
I really thought going into it was about 2 weeks in the spring ball, and I really thought we hit a home run on two of our signees at running back. One of them is Shane Lee from Destrehan, and the other one is Miguel Brock from Pensacola Pine Forest. But we were so loaded. We were five deep at that position, so you didn't want to burn a red shirt on him or try to play him in four games. Some things shook out and happened, and we decided last week that Miguel was so explosive, he reminded us of Jalen. Let's give him a shot. He scored the first time he touched the ball, and then he went 70 yards on another one. So we like what we have, and he's got to see the field more for us.
Now, Coach Rebo, you bring up Southern. And is that something you could be part of maybe the scheduling in the future, or is that more the athletic department, the AD? And the reason why I bring this up, because it's the same thing in Northwestern and Natchitoches. All I know is when Grambling or Southern comes to the town, you have the biggest crowd. Could that be something, when you look at revenue in the future, that you're having a home at home? Because you look at the largest crowds at John L. Guidry Stadium, I think Southern's part of that.
And Grambling is part of
it,
too.
So, is that something that you can maybe work out in that? Look, okay, we'll go to Baton Rouge and play Southern, and they come to Thibodaux. Or we'll go to North Louisiana, right out of Ruston, and play Grambling, or they'll come here. Is that something? Because that's when you really have that atmosphere, and as far as a player, playing in front of a truly packed house where you might have to rope off the field, and then they all around the stadium. Because I think Grambling and Southern, seems like all through the years they've had that kind of impact, whether they play Nickel State, Northwestern, Southeastern, McNeese, whatever it might be, that if you put Southern and Grambling on your schedule, that the crowd's going to be there.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Bobby, three times I've been a part of that Southern game when I was here in the 90s. We had to go to them twice. Great atmosphere, and you're right, they do travel well. I've been involved in the scheduling, trying to get more of the local teams. It's been years we've been trying to get Southern back on the schedule. We finally did it. We'll go to them this year, and then they'll come to us, not next year in 25, but I think in 26. And we're trying to renew that rivalry. Look, I'm trying to play all the state schools. We got Tulane again down the road. We're looking to play ULL, ULM, and Louisiana Tech. So I think it's all good for Nichols. It's good for our area, and it's good for the state of football in Louisiana.
Coach, last question. Anybody, you talked about the young running backs, but on the defensive side of the football, that have really stepped up their game. Maybe if it was a redshirt freshman or a freshman that come in to really make an impact, because one of the things I see a lot in college football and certainly in the NFL too, it's not a lot of depth along offensive defensive line, and you're always looking for a defensive lineman, a front seven people. Has there been a player or two that has really been able to step up his game in that front seven for you defensively?
You know, Mike, it's always been a policy of ours to try to play as many D linemen as we can. It's just the nature of the position. You just try to roll those guys 7 and 8 deep. We haven't had that luxury yet so far this year. We had it at linebacker, and I think a young man who stands out, who we gave an opportunity, we talked about this before, was Jake Delmato. He was in that loaded backfield at running back. We moved him into to linebacker. He started last week for us, and he did not miss a beat. I mean, so we love what he's doing. He's been a big impact for us. But also, it's going to be nothing like getting a couple of them guys back when Tyler Martin gets back in that secondary to help that back end out.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it. Good luck to you this coming Saturday as you play the Southern Jaguars.
Okay, thank you, fellas. See you soon.
All righty. That was Nicholls State head football coach Tim Rebo. That segment is brought to you weekly by Thibodaux Regional Health System, innovation for a healthy future. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Second Guess right after this break. Here in hour number two of Second Guess, we're at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Bob, you brought up a point to Mike about human nature and sometimes taking maybe not the best approach or the most focused approach, and not take nothing away from Kentucky. But for Kentucky
can play defense. Look, they did it against Georgia. They did it against Ole Miss. That's the one thing LSU doesn't have, the defense Kentucky has. Their offense is better.
Well, what happened against South Carolina?
I don't know. Mike, that's why I just talked to Coach Rebo. You got to come to play. You never know, week in and week out.
It's human nature, I think, sometimes to think, okay, we got this. We got this game.
Hey, you know what I would like right now?
I thought LSU came to play against South Alabama, who had really put up a ton of points on people. They came to play.
Well, going forward, I would like to have Kentucky's defense and LSU's offense to finish the SEC. I would like, Mike, I think we can pull off some upsets. I'll tell you, I still don't trust LSU's defense. No, they're better than they were last year, but I don't. We got the right quarterback.
Could it be any worse?
Right, that's true. And then, you know, like DBU, like I said, DB Pooh, the cornerbacks.
It's
more the safeties. The safeties out there, how they trying to find. Can we find two safeties that maybe we could trust? They just giving a bunch of people opportunities there.
Yeah, I think they're trying to find the right combination at that safety position. Same thing at cornerback position. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.